Blog Talk Radio.
Chapter 10, Devoted Prayer. The Lord is good unto those that wait in him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good to wait quietly in the salvation of the Lord. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 25 through 26. There is a manifest want of spiritual influence on the minister of the present day. I feel it in my own case, and I see it in that of others. We are laying ourselves out more than is expedient to meet one man's taste and another man's prejudices. The ministry is a grand and holy affair, and it should find in us a simple habit and a holy but humble indifference to all consequences. The leading defect in Christian ministers is want of a devotional habit. Richard Cecil, never was there a greater need for saintly men and women, but more crucial is the call for saintly, God-devoted preachers. The world moves with gigantic strides, and in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the will of the prince of the power of this air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Satan has his hold and rule on the world, and he labors to make all its movements further his ends. Religion must do its best work and present its most attractive and perfect models. By every means, modern sainthood must be inspired by the grandest ideals and greatest possibilities through the Spirit. Paul lived on his knees, so that the Ephesian church might measure the heights, breadths, and depths of an unmeasurable saintliness. He prayed that they might be able to well comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the charity of the Christ, which passes all knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 through 19. Epaphras laid himself out with the exhaustive toil and strenuous conflict of fervent prayer for the Colossian church. Paul related to them that Epaphras was always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand firm, perfect, and fulfilled in all the will of God. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Everywhere, everything in apostolic times was on the pathway that the people of God might each and all come forth in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the coming of age of the Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. No premium was given to dwarfs, no encouragement to an old baby. The babies were to grow and mature. The old were to bear fruit in their old age and be fat and flourishing instead of weak and insecure. The most sacred thing in religion is holy men and holy women. No amount of money, genius, or culture can move things for God. Holiness, energizing the soul, the whole man aflame with love and the desire for more faith, more prayer, more zeal, and more consecration is the secret of power. We need these and must have them. Men must be the incarnation of this God-inflamed devotedness. God's purpose has been delayed, his cause crippled, and his name dishonored for the lack of holy men and women. The loftiest and most gifted genius, the most learned and refined education, position, dignity, honored titles, or high clerical rank cannot move this chariot of our God. It is a fiery one, and only fiery forces can move it. The genius of a Milton fails, and the imperial strength of a Leo fails. But David Brainerd's spirit could move it. Brainerd's spirit was on fire for God and on fire for souls. Nothing earthly, worldly, or selfish came in to diminish in the least the intensity of this all-impelling and all-consuming force and flame. Prayer is the creator as well as the channel of devotion. The spirit of devotion is the spirit of prayer. Prayer and devotion are united as soul and body are united, as life and the heart are united. There is no real prayer without devotion, no devotion without prayer. The preacher must be surrendered to God in the holiest devotion. He is not a professional man. His ministry is not a profession. It is a divine institution, a divine devotion. He is devoted to God. His aim and ambition are for God and to God. And to such as these, prayer is as essential as food is to life. Above everything else, the preacher must be devoted to God. The preacher's relationship to God is the insignia and credentials of his ministry. These must be clear, conclusive, and unmistakable. No common surface type of devotion can be his. If he does not excel in grace, he does not excel at all. If he does not preach by life, character, and conduct, he does not preach at all. A preacher must, as Paul taught Timothy, be an example of the faithful in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. If his devotion is light, his preaching may be as soft and as sweet as music and as gifted as Apollo, but its weight will be a feather's weight. Visionary and fleeting as the morning cloud or the early dew. There is no substitute for devotion to God in the preacher's character and conduct. Devotions to a church, to opinions, to an organization, or to orthodoxy are paltry, misleading, and vain when they become the source of inspiration. They become hostile to the call. God must be the mainspring of the preacher's effort, the fountain and crown of all his toil. The name and honor of Jesus Christ and the advancement of his cause must be his all. The preacher must have no inspiration except the name of Jesus Christ, no ambition besides Christ glorified, and no toil but for him. Then prayer will be a source of his illumination, the means of perpetual motivation and the gauge of his success. The perpetual aim, the only ambition that the preacher can cherish, is to have God with him. Never did the cause of God need perfect illustrations of the possibilities of prayer more than in this age. No age and no person can be examples of the gospel power except the ages or persons of deep and earnest prayer. A prayerless age will have few examples of divine power. Prayerless hearts will never rise to alpine heights. This generation may be a better age than the past, but there is an infinite distance between the betterment of an age by the force of an advancing civilization and its betterment by the increase of holiness and Christ-likeness by the energy of prayer. The Jews were much better when Christ came than in the ages before. It was the golden age of their Pharisaical religion. Their golden religious age crucified Christ. There had never been more praying, never less praying, never more sacrifices, never less sacrifices, never more idolatry, never less idolatry. They had never experienced more temple worship, but less of God worship. Never more lip service, but never less heart service. God was worshipped by lips whose hearts and hands crucified God's Son. There were never more churchgoers, but never fewer saints. Because of this, Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draws nigh unto me with their mouth, and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching doctrines and commandments of men." Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9. It is prayer force that makes saints. Holy characters are formed by the power of real praying. The more true saints, the more praying. The more praying, the more true saints. Scripture. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. In this manner I beheld thee in holiness when I beheld thy power and thy glory. Because thy mercy is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee in my life. In thy name shall I lift up my hands. Psalm 63, verses 1 through 4.